Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
And hopefully you've been hearing lately in the last few weeks our series on Katie Schuurman and Cheryl Swope, their collaboration with Emmanuel Press, He Restores My Soul.
And a whole slew of more talented writers
yes,
as well.
Fantastic people.
What's the feminine of writers? Is there a feminine...
I don't know.
You know, like actor and actress.
Yeah.
Writeress.
I don't think that's
writress.
A word.
That's not right. Never mind.
No, that's a different tangent for a different day.
Okay. Let's talk about something more important.
Like maybe a chapter in the book. How's that?
That sounds outstanding.
Okay. That sounds great. Well, today is a special one because one of two of our authors that are going to be able to join us in studio, which is really cool. I like having authors in studio. It's really fun. We have Deaconess Heidi Sias joining us in studio to talk about her chapter titled When God is Hiding, which goes along with the verse from Psalm 23, For You Are With Me. Welcome, Heidi. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
So tell us about your chapter, the topic that you're writing about under the title When God is Hiding.
My chapter is on living with a chronic disease, and I decided... Katie asked me to write that chapter because I've been suffering from different symptoms and that for a long time, but I just was recently diagnosed with a neurological condition about 2.5 years ago. So that's how she asked me. Plus, we've been friends a really long time, too. Our husbands went to seminary together, so we go way back.
There's always trouble there.
That's right, yes. We always had a lot of fun together.
So there's a connection. You're connected to Katie and some of the other writers as well, and you have this personal story to share. How important is it for you to share your story of this particular issue, living with a chronic disease? How important is it to share this with others? What is it that you want others to know?
I suffered from the chronic disease for a long time, like 15 years, and it really wears on you. You know, you feel worn down, and everybody has gone through that, right? I mean, you feel worn down and you're tired. It's not just tired, but you're kind of at wit's end.
Mm-hmm.
And so... there's just lots of uncertainty and not a lot of answers. And so people with chronic disease often feel alone. They feel abandoned. They feel like people don't understand. They feel like people don't believe them because a lot of times it's kind of an invisible disease and you don't see it on the outside, you know. So you feel kind of overwhelmed by your pain and suffering, and there's just a lot of uncertainty. And even with a diagnosis, there's still uncertainty. So you have to work through that and start to look toward God's promises to see, you know, how you're going to deal with all of it.
Absolutely. There's a lot of feeling very alone. And a full disclosure on this one, just from my personal perspective, you know, this is the chapter that I resonate the most with, just with my own personal health journey, which you can find me on Facebook. No, but you know, you feel almost like your body has betrayed you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very closed in feeling. And it's so easy to focus on that instead of looking to God's promises.
Yeah, it's easy to just kind of feel sorry for yourself and just turn inward and not really want to look outward anymore, you know. Just, is it ever going to end? And so it does get difficult that way. And the only, you know, real answer is to start looking outward and looking to Christ and his promises for us.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And we don't want to give away too much of what's in the chapter about the actual your journey through the diagnostic phase, which I know it's hard. It is very hard.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it like going through that diagnostic phase? What is it like living with a chronic disease and just living in that space and knowing that it's not something that you can take a break? You can't like take a nap and wake up and pretend it's not there. It's what is it like living with that?
Well, there's always, you know, doctor's visits and, mm-hmm. and all that kind of tests and all that kind of stuff. And so it gets difficult trying to deal with that and never having answers and wondering if doctors are even believing you, you know. And so for a while, you know, I kind of even just gave up going and just said, okay, this is just my life now. I'm just going to have to deal with it. So, but yeah, I mean, you just kind of get to a point where you wonder if you can go on anymore. But then, you know, I had a somebody reminded me that even if I feel like I can't hang on anymore, God hangs on to me and he won't let go. So
what are the questions that you had as, you know, speaking more about the, you know, going through that diagnostic experience, what were the questions that were going through your mind as you were, you know, going in for tests and dealing with this? I'm sure there were questions just running through your mind that someone else may be experiencing too, you know, if they're facing tests and diagnosis.
You just, like I said, you wonder if you'll ever get an answer.
Mm-hmm. Which leads to more isolation, I'm sure.
Like, yeah, you just feel like you're abandoned and nobody understands. Mm-hmm. So,
well, yeah. And maybe wondering if it's all in your head too, that maybe I'm just like pretending that these are symptoms. Maybe I'm not actually experiencing this. At least for me, that's been a big thing. That, you know, it's
maybe they're right. I really don't have
Yeah,
anything.
You start believing other people when they tell you, or when they say, "Oh, you're fine," or "Nothing's wrong with you." You start believing that.
As you face those questions, face those challenges, maybe even disappointments through that time, what kept you moving forward through those difficult and bad days?
You just kind of learn to take one day at a time and know that God will give you what you need when you need it. He'll give you the strength that you need. And that, you know, you start to realize that there are reasons for the crosses that he gives us. And that applies to everybody, you know. Everybody has different crosses in life, and God gives us those for a reason. And he tells us in 2 Corinthians that his grace is sufficient for us, that his power is made perfect in weakness. So in our weakness, we get our strength and start to really fix our eyes on Christ and his promises.
That's one of my favorite verses.
Yeah.
but for that reason, because it can be so hard to... No, not so hard. It's so easy to wallow in the weakness, in your own weaknesses, and just be like, oh, this is so terrible. Why is this happening to me? But understanding that Christ will bring you through, and that Christ's power, I mean, we are saved through Christ. Thanks be to God.
Yes. Amen.
what are, other than that, do you have other Bible verses or other places in Scripture of God's promises when we are suffering?
In the Psalms, he says that our comfort is in our affliction is in his promises. It's Psalm 119. But, you know, he gives us his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and his word and sacrament, and that's what gives us hope. And we can just be assured that he'll always be with us.
How important is it to hear those promises often? I mean, when and where are you hearing those or receiving those promises?
Yeah, that's the important thing. And it's often really difficult because you do feel alone and you kind of start to depend on the same people. So, you know, you hear it at, you know, going to church. You hear it, you know, his word is read as the word is preached and you receive his gifts. But it's also important to have good friends and family to remind you of those promises regularly.
And you're blessed with the gift of a spouse, a husband, who also happens to be a pastor.
Yes.
Which has its own pros and cons,
sure.
I've read in places.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yes.
To be able to be reminded of those gifts of God, those promises of God that are all yes in Christ. What do you want your readers to gain from your chapter in He Restores My Soul?
Well, a couple things. First of all, I hope that people who don't suffer from chronic disease can kind of understand what it's like and understand how they can help and care for people who have chronic disease. And the biggest one, as you just said, is to remind them regularly of God's promises, of Christ's promises. So that's one of them. The other one, of course, is for people who do suffer from chronic disease or other health problem, and really for anybody going through affliction, that God's promises become apparent in our affliction. You know, that's when we look to him and the crosses that he gives us draws us to him. And the hardest thing to fathom is that we can have joy in those afflictions. And that doesn't sound like it should work that way, but joy isn't necessarily happiness. You don't have to walk around, you know, being all happy all the time. You know, you can be, have joy in suffering and sadness because you have joy in his promises. And in 1 Peter 3, we hear that we need to be prepared to tell others about the hope that is in us and the joy that is in us. And so even in our suffering, if we can show people that hope and that joy, it opens doors to be able to talk to them about Christ and share his promises, and that those, you know, promises are what give us hope.
So. I was actually going to ask you finding joy in suffering, because that is, that's a countercultural thing, whether or not we're in the church, even for people who are Christian, when you come across suffering, it's you know, and you think, oh, I should be finding joy in this, but that's not something that comes easily.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, how have you found to be able to do that?
Well, you know, I think what you said earlier, and not just focusing on yourself all the time, you know, and just looking at your problems and kind of having a little pity party, you know.
those are fun.
You know, but to look outward, to look to Christ, to just do what you can each day, and to serve your neighbor, you know, no matter what that means, depending on your physical ability, you know, you can do things. You can pray for people if you're bedridden, right? So I think serving your neighbor is really important, to look outside of yourself and to be able to, you know, look past the suffering that you're going through. And then others, your neighbor helps you get through your suffering. So it's, you know, God has set this up in such a way that we help each other that way. So
absolutely, yeah. And going through these situations, it makes you, it just makes you more empathetic to other people and other people's situations and other people's afflictions, whether or not it's the same thing that you're going through.
Right.
It's easier to walk alongside of people in their pain,
yes,
whatever that is,
yep,
and to share the gospel with them.
Yeah.
Yep.
God gives us comfort so we can comfort others.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep. Deaconess Heidi Sias, writing a chapter in the book, He Restores My Soul, on living with chronic disease. You can find the book at emmanuelpress.us. Heidi, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates. The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.